Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you. And I do want to thank you for your partnership in the gospel. And, we are fortunate that we have brethren in Christ, just as you experienced here this morning, loved ones in Christ that you can get together with. And I'm thankful also just to pass on just a word of encouragement to you with over 700 churches just here in Virginia that consider you their partners in ministry. So thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers and appreciate all that God is doing here in your midst. As Brent said, I grew up in Newport News. My folks moved there when I was a year old. And my dad worked at the shipyard for over 40 years there in Newport News. He's an engineer by trade. And then went through all of that, graduated from James Madison University. That's where I did my bachelor's degree. And but then came back from North Carolina after seminary. My wife and I did move to Virginia Beach, actually. And our first daughter, Melissa, was born at DePaul Hospital in Norfolk. And so it's a small world. So whenever I get to come back to the beach, it's or to Hampton Roads, especially south side here, it's always like coming home. And whenever I can get by Frankie's Ribs or some places like that, man, I'm in good shape. And it's always good to get to come back into your neck of the woods. But I appreciate what God's doing through your fellowship all around the world. As Brent mentioned, Lithuania. I can remember distinctly when I was in Lithuania a couple years ago, standing there looking out over this capital city in Lithuania. It was amazing just to contemplate what those streets had seen. In fact, Brent's been there, so he knows what I'm talking about. I remember walking down one particular street, Brent, where you could see the bricks on the wall on this particular building had the names of individuals on there and dates. And those were folks that had either disappeared and been martyred when the Nazis came in to Lithuania, or afterwards when the Soviet Union came in. And that was kind of somewhat of a memorial. It was just something to stand there and think about the tanks that had rolled down that street, the folks that had disappeared, the folks who had given their lives for freedom. And so I appreciate the fact that you have such a heart for what the Lord's doing around the world. And indeed, just as it was in the first century, now in the 21st century, our world needs to see, the church needs to show the world what true Christian leadership is all about. Amen? I mean, we're living in a real crucible of history here in the United States. Now, I'm careful not to always sound kind of doom and gloom. I've been privileged to go to some different parts of the world. I just recently came back from Kenya, and in the nation of Kenya, and Kenya is actually in pretty good shape compared to much of East Africa, but in Kenya, the average person has to bribe an official 18 times a month. 18 times a month. That's just a way of life. And, you know, if you or I had to do that like one time this year, man, we would be calling like, you know, CNN, or you'd be calling, you know, Wavy Channel 10, or something like that, or you'd be calling the Virginia Pilot, and you would want someone reported. And so, granted, when I look out across our country, particularly in an election season like this, I'm reminded that more than ever, our families, our communities, really our churches need to communicate to our families and our communities what true leadership is all about. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about really how to stand out in a crowd this morning, all right? So if you have a Bible, I hope you do, find the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts, chapter 6. I'm going to talk with you about a person that you may be familiar with, and that's the person of Stephen. As you're finding your place there, I'm going to try to thumb through this here. That's my family right there. It's a recent family picture. And my wife's name is Jennifer. Your right side there, to my left in the picture, is our oldest daughter, Melissa, the one who was born at DePaul, right? And in fact, she is a senior in high school in the Richmond, Virginia area and is looking to go on to nursing school at college. And she swims competitively, so it looks like she's going to probably swim into college. Right now, it looks like she's leaning towards Mary Washington. We were up there yesterday. So we're right in the middle of kind of, you know, right in that part of life where we've got a child getting ready to graduate, and she's looking to kind of spread her wings and launch out of the nest. So you can pray for us about that. And then the youngest one is Jenna in the front. She's 9, all right? And man, she's got youngest child down really well, all right? She works it really good. And she is such a kind of wonderful joy for me to kind of have one last round of raising a little girl. And she She's wonderful. The two older ones often accuse me of acting like she's my favorite. And I'm like, no, I don't love her more than you guys. I just like her more than you guys. No, I'm just teasing. I mean, it's like this in all seriousness. When it comes to this, I try to explain the older two. Listen, she's young. She's still little. It's not that I'm trying to show her favoritism. It's just I'm more tired now. You know, I'm just tired. I mean, they're wearing me out. But also, you know, it's kind of simple sometimes, the stuff she's dealing with. You know, what kind of costume do I want to wear to my friend's birthday party yesterday? That was kind of what's the big deal for her right now, right? But man, as we get older, there become so many more challenges, right? In fact, take my son. My son is named Mark. Mark's 14. He's a freshman in high school in the Richmond area. And the other evening, we picked him up from volleyball practice. Him and a teammate, my wife and I did. And we're going to go drop his friend off. And on the way back towards the house, Mark says this to me. Mark says, I need a poster board. And I'm thinking, great. The kid's supposed to be gifted, and he cannot remember anything to save his life. And so I'm like, okay, what school project have you forgotten to do? And it wasn't a school project. Well, it was kind of a school project, but not one for academics. He said, I need a poster board. What do you need a poster board for? Well, a homecoming's coming up, and I have a friend, and I think I'm going to ask this friend, I'm going to ask her to go to the homecoming with me. And just friends. Just friends. I'm like, okay, no problem. Just friends, right? Yeah, just friends, Dad. So you need a poster board? Yeah, I need a poster board because I'm going to make a sign asking her to go to the homecoming with me. And then, by the way, I want this. And he kind of came up with this pithy little saying he was going to put on there. Well, the next morning comes around, and getting ready to drop him off. And I could tell he's kind of on edge, you know? He's a little kind of nervous acting. He's kind of edgy. He's a little grumpy. And I'm like, what's the matter? Did you not get enough sleep? What's the deal? He goes, well, I hope she knows that I just want to go as friends. And he kept going, I just wondered, well, son, do you think there's any reason she's going to think that you don't want to just go as friends? Well, I don't know. I just hope she knows. I just want to go as friends. I got to make that really clear. And I'm like, well, son, listen, you're going in there with a poster board and a gift and a pithy little saying. You're going to hold it up in front of all her friends saying, will you go to the dance with me? I don't know really what she's going to think, but listen, right now you're going to have to kind of let her have her moment probably, all right? Because she may get it that it's just friends, or you may have to re-clarify a little bit later, all right? But bottom line is this, you have a responsibility here, son. Now, my son is almost 6 feet tall, and I told him, I said, God's blessed you with stature. Here's what you've got to keep in mind. Now, I know you want to play it cool, right? I said, so you be cool. But you always be kind. You always be kind and caring. I said, there's never an excuse to be a jerk. You be cool today, all right? You play it cool, but you be caring. Because you see, here's the deal. He kind of stands out in the crowd. And my goal as a father, and the Heavenly Father's goal for us is this, is he desires for us to stand out in the crowd. That's what you see in Acts chapter 6. And there's times where maybe I get a little bit edgy towards the Heavenly Father, like my son got towards me that day. And I get a little bit nervous. How people are going to read me? And are they going to see me as a friend? Or are they going to see me like this or whatever? And the bottom line is this, is our Heavenly Father looks at us and he says, listen, I have made you. I have intended for you to stand out in the crowd. So how do you do that? How do we stand out in the crowd? Well, we get a great example. And a man by the name, an individual by the name of Stephen. So I want you to hear God's word. Acts chapter 6, it starts off like this in verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now take note of this. When it comes to dealing with the church, there are different ways that we sometimes fall under attack. One is persecution, and that is attack from the outside. The other is sin. That is attack that is internal and personal. But the other is disunity or dissension. And that's what was beginning to happen here. And by the way, if you look at church history, what you'll notice is this, is the enemy continues to repeat that course of attack. There will be persecution. There will be internal sin. There will be dissension over and over and over and over again. And you go back and you look at a local church's history. You go back and you look at the kingdom of God's history. You will see that pattern take place. And that's exactly what's happening here. So in verse 2, the Bible says, "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples, and they said this, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men,'" and listen to the description, "'of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering." And here it is. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and 6 others that we're not going to talk about much today, all right? But Stephen, man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. I want us, from the life of Stephen, to see 4 truths I'm going to quickly share with you this morning, to take to heart from Stephen's life that encourage us to stand out in the crowd. So let's pray. Father, help us to take note of these truths from the life testimony at this point in time in Stephen's life. Because God, I pray that here at New Song and other churches in this community, other churches across this globe, Lord, that you will indeed empower us, strengthen us as leaders, as young people, as middle age, as older, to stand out in the crowd so that the world won't really just see us, but so that the world may see us pointing them to you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So here's what I want you to see. Number one, understand this about Stephen. His name is from the word Stephanos, means crown of glory. So even in his name, you get the sense that he was to be somewhat of a champion. And that's what my dream is for my children. I want them to be champions for Christ. I want them to stand out in the crowd. So how's that happen? Well, number one, take note of this. The normal Christian life is not the typical Christian life. Now understand that. The normal Christian life is not the typical Christian life. So what's normal? I think normal is what you see in Stephen. I think sometimes what we do, when we look at someone like Stephen, we put him on the pedestal and we say, oh, you know what? Well, that's great for him. That's great for Pastor Brent. That's great for these elders, but that can't be me. And I think our Heavenly Father, when he looks at our family picture, when he looks at the heavenly family picture, when he looks at his sons and his daughters, he says, you know what? I want them to be normal. But unfortunately, normal is not often typical. So what do you see is the norm in Stephen's life? He's described like this, full of power, full of wisdom, full of grace. Do you see that in the scriptures there? Look back with me at verse 3. The Bible says for them to pick out 7 and they are to be full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Then Stephen is described as in verse 5, as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. You look down at verse 8, it says, Stephen, full of grace and power. So just take note of some of these words. Grace, power, wisdom. Full of grace, that is unmerited and unlimited riches of God poured out on us by Christ. Grace in the pre-Christian vocabulary also refers to describe to the charm of one's speech, the charm of his character. Stephen was someone that when you were around him, you didn't recoil from. You would have enjoyed his company is the way that I understand this. But you also saw as a Christian that God's grace was upon him. His life had been changed by Jesus Christ. You know, when we come to terms with God's amazing grace, I think that bursts within us a sense of humility and teachability and approachability. He was also full of power. Similar words used of Jesus in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and that we will be his witnesses. You know, it's God's will for every single one of us to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not for a select few. It's to be the norm. This is the normal Christian life, although it's not often the typical Christian life. And then he says, full of wisdom in verse 10. Talks about that here. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. when Stephen opens his mouth and he begins to address the crowd that is assembled, they hear wisdom. Wisdom here is the idea of insight. Ephesians chapter 1:17, the Bible says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." They would go on to reject the wisdom that Stephen shares, just as they had rejected the prophets of old and Jesus Christ Himself. They look at Stephen. They listen to Stephen. And they don't really know what to do with him. When you look here at the Bible in verse 15 of Acts chapter 6, the Bible says, "In gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." I find that to be a very interesting sentence here. To be a person has the face of an angel. When you hear that, what do you think of? Do you maybe think of like those little precious moments, little angels, those little figurines, you know, that you have maybe sitting around the house? Maybe when you think of the face of an angel, you think about, you know, your children or your grandchildren when they're little, asleep in their bed, a little drool coming out of their mouth, sitting there. They're all peaceful and cuddled up under their blanket, sleeping so peacefully. The face of an angel. Do you understand that that's nowhere near how the Bible describes angels? In fact, you go back and you look at the episodes in the Bible when angels appeared, people didn't go, "Oh, what a cute little angel." You know what they did? You know, they fell on their faces as if they were dead. They were absolutely overwhelmed by the awesomeness of what they were seeing. I think when they looked at Stephen, they saw this amazing character, they saw this amazing courage, and this person of sold out conviction when it came to following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's what we ought to be looking for in leaders, by the way. That's what the world needs to see in us, even though it may many times not agree with us. That's what I'm talking about when I say the normal Christian life. You see, the normal Christian life often isn't the typical Christian life because so often we're not full of grace, we're not full of power, and we're certainly not full of wisdom. But that's what you see in Stephen. That's what they saw in Stephen. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, goes on to give this amazing speech. By the way, and I won't read through all of Acts 7 for you. You can read that on your own. Acts chapter 7 is the longest recorded sermon in the Bible. Longest sermon in the New Testament, except for the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Lord Jesus' sermon, so we won't compare Stephen to him. But compared to anyone else, do you realize that Stephen's is the longest recorded sermon? It's longer than Peter's Pentecost sermon, by the way. What I find so interesting there is something else that I want to point out to you, is this. The normal Christian life is not the typical Christian life, but number two, never say you're just a layman. Teenagers, never say, "I'm just a teenager." Stephen is given the honor of having the longest recorded sermon in all of Scripture. Never say, "Well, I'm just my kid's dad," or "I'm just a neighbor," "I'm just a mom," "I'm just a man," "I'm just a woman," "I'm just a new believer." Never say that. The second thing I want you to remember to stand out in a crowd is this, is listen, never just say that you're a layman. Never discount how God might intend to use you where God has you. Do you realize that, you know, if you go to Kempsville High School, you have a tremendous mission field right there. You realize that you have access to a mission field that oftentimes Pastor Brent or myself, we wouldn't have access to. Do you realize that God has strategically placed you next to the neighbors that He has placed you next to? Never say you're just fill in the blank. Stephen, in the moment when God puts him in the middle of the crowd, Stephen stands tall, and you see his character, you see his confidence, you see his courage, and you will see his Christ-likeness. He stands before them, and he goes through, really from Abraham and on through all the way to Moses and David and all the prophets, all the way up to Jesus Christ. And he looks at these accusers and he charges them with this. He says, you rejected Moses, you've rejected the prophets, you've rejected Jesus, and now you're rejecting the message of Christ that I've been called to share with you. Bottom line is this. People either reject Christ or they accept Christ. That's the mission God has given you and me, to proclaim the good news of Christ to the world. The challenge for us as leaders in this crowd is that often the normal Christian life is not the typical Christian life, and so often we say, well, I'm just this. Don't do that. Next, I want you to see this. If you want to be full of Jesus, you have to be empty of yourself. You know, we're all full of something. You know that, right? Everybody's full of something. Question is this. What are you full of this morning? What are you full of as we approach the noon hour? What are you going to be full of this afternoon? What are you full of on Monday morning? Are you full of Jesus? I want to ask you to look with me at the end of chapter 7. At the end of chapter 7, I find something very interesting here. I want to read you. It comes to the climax in verse 54. They've heard his speech. They hear his sermon. And he has pointed out to them how ultimately they have rejected the truth of God throughout their history. And now in verse 54, it says this, now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, here it is again, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and they stopped their ears and they rushed together at him. And then they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. The witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, listen to what Stephen cries out. Now they are murdering him. He is being martyred. And this is what he says. Lord Jesus, verse 59. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice these immortal words. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Simple question here, guys. Who's that sound like? Sounds an awful lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Don't hold this sin against them. He is being murdered. They are stoning him. They are hurling large rocks at him. They are killing him in a slow, painful way. And in the midst of dying and being martyred, he says, Jesus, forgive them. That sounds an awful lot like that he was full of the Lord Jesus. So I want you just to remember this. If you want to be full of Jesus, you're going to have to be empty of yourself. So what is it on this Sunday that you just need to say, Lord Jesus, less of this and more of you. Less of this and more of you. Less of this and more of you. You know, one last thought. You can't live your life for Christ. You can't give your life for Christ until you live your life for Christ. It's very interesting that many people will list Stephen as a martyr. He's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's one of the first Christian martyrs. The word martyr means witness. I want you to listen to this statement that I wrote down. Stephen was not a martyr because he died for Jesus. That's what most people think martyrs are. He was a martyr because he died for Jesus, right? No. He died because he was a martyr for Jesus. He wasn't a martyr because he died. He died because he was a martyr. They murdered him because of his witness. You see, you can't give your life for Jesus until you've lived your life for Jesus. So that's what brings us down to your point of decision this morning. Lord Jesus, am I living my life for you. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to kind of go back to number one. The normal Christian life isn't the typical Christian life. Are you full of Jesus? Are you full of His grace and His power and His wisdom and His Holy Spirit? You know, if you want, you want to have something to pray for your kids, you want to pray something for your grandkids, you want to pray something for yourself. Teenagers, pray this for yourself. Pray this for me. Pray that we'll be full of grace, full of power, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of Jesus. Interesting. You know, I've been just trying to kind of quickly make the point that we need to stand out in the crowd. I find it so striking here in the text that they lay their garments down at the feet of the man named Saul. By the way, when Saul, who became Paul, would give his testimony later on, years later on, he would mention Stephen. I don't think Paul ever got over the witness of Stephen. I've kind of wondered this, that every time Paul walked down those gravelly roads in the Roman Empire and he heard the crush of gravel underneath his feet, if he didn't think about those rocks being thrown at Stephen. Because you see, in Stephen, we see that he wasn't typical, but I think he was what God wants to be normal. You see someone who wasn't just saying he was just a layman. You see in him that he was empty of himself and full of Jesus. And you see that because he lived his life, he could give his life for Jesus. I think Stephen stood out in the crowd. And what's so interesting is that heaven seems to notice. The Bible says this. Stephen says in verse 56, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." For the Bible students and scholars in the room, you probably should find that a little strange. Because the Bible tells us that after Jesus ascended, that Jesus did what? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Other places in the New Testament will tell us Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. But Stephen sees Jesus standing. It's interesting, I think, here to consider why is that the case. Well, perhaps Jesus is just standing like a lawyer would stand to object in court. I object to how Stephen is being treated. Maybe. Perhaps he saw Stephen, one of his own, in trouble, and he stood to his feet like I stand to my feet when I see one of my children in trouble. Maybe. You know what I've kind of come to this conclusion is this. Is that Jesus stands to get all of heaven's attention. He stands to get the church's attention. I think Jesus stood 2,000 years ago when Stephen was being stoned, so you and I would remember it today, and that we would hear Jesus saying to us, "I'm standing because I want you to know that's what it means to stand out in the crowd. That's what I'm looking for. That's what it means to be a leader for Christ. That's what it means to be normal as a Christian." So, are you ready? Are you willing this morning at this noon hour to say, "Lord Jesus, less of me, more of you"? You know, I take it as a compliment when people will sometimes say, "Boy, that son of yours, he stands just like you, Brian. When he says things, oh, it sounds a lot like you." My wife made this comment in his homecoming picture. She said, "Look at the way he's standing. If I didn't know better, I would think that was you, Brian." You know what I think the Lord loves to hear is when people say about his people, his family, "You know what? she looks and acts an awful lot like she knows Jesus. That young man, he must be one of Jesus' followers. Would you stand to your feet with me? Heads bowed all around this room right now. I want to just invite you to do something right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. For you just to say, Lord Jesus, in your prayer right now, just in your prayer right now, and this is for those who are believers in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ right now, would you just say, Lord Jesus, and you just pray it silently, Lord Jesus, less of me, more of you. Help me to empty myself of whatever I have in me so I can be more full of you and your grace and your power and your wisdom. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray, O Lord. Help us as we study your word and become students of your word to accept your word and not reject it, as Stephen accepted your word and he didn't reject it. And then a word to those who are here today, but you're not sure, or maybe you know you're not a follower of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you, paid for your sins, has proven his authority and his rightful place as Lord because of his death, burial, and resurrection. He lived a perfect, sinless life, gave his life so you could be full of grace, peace, and wisdom in the Holy Spirit. Won't you accept him today and not reject him? You could pray to God right now in your own words, something like this. Lord Jesus, I need you. I admit that I'm a sinner and I've been trying to be the God of my own life, but God, I'm going to get off the throne and I want you to be on the throne of my life. You deserve to be on the throne of my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sinful ways. Help me to walk in your will. Fill me, God, with your grace and power. If you prayed something like that, there's no magical prayer you pray. But don't miss the miracle that you can pray. But don't miss that Jesus also encourages us to talk with other believers, to be discipled, to be mentored. I encourage you to come and talk with Pastor Brent, or talk with someone else here that you know is a Christ follower. And today, you go to them and say, today, I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can you help me to walk with him? God, move among us, I pray. Thank you for the hospitality. Thank you for the gracious invitation and introduction. And Lord, I pray that after I'm long gone from this building today, that you would have been made much of. Because that's what Stephen would want. Because really, this message isn't about Stephen as much as it is about you, Lord Jesus. Because he was full of you and empty of himself. Help me with that, God. In Jesus' name, amen.